Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga, Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the cliche saying, there are no accidents, along with various interpretations of the phrase. In this show, we will discuss the sliding scale of experience, from looking for the meaning behind the accident to the realization that it is impossible to have an accident under divine law. Listen as Swami explains the wrath of God as the love of God, which will not allow individuals to accept anything less than perfection. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live under the influence, under the protection of divine law. So Swami, the title of today's show is The Truth About Accidents. So what is that we need to learn about accidents?
Well, I think what we want to do is we want to, like you said in the opening, explore that sliding scale, starting with there are no accidents because there is a reason for the accident, thus making the accident intentional, to the higher understanding when spirit is cause, creation is perfect and completely void of accidents.
So when people say that there are no accidents, everything is supposed to happen, how would you respond to that? Or how should we think about that differently?
Well, according to the divine science paradigm, we either believe that there are accidents or we believe spirit is all and there are no accidents. I think even though the statement there are no accidents can be thought of as true, there are two very different ways of looking at it. One, we believe in good and bad, which puts us under the law of karma, the perfect accountant, for every action there is an equal and an opposite reaction. This belief gives a sense of power to mental and spiritual laws, which keep us trapped in the cycle of death and rebirth, the false sense of existence. The other is we believe in the divine creation, which is only good, absolute goodness, where there are no accidents because there is only perfect life and absolute harmony. A lot of it's going to start with, what do I believe in? Do I believe the testimony of my corporeal senses, or do I believe the divine creation is all that there is, that spirit is all?
So if we believe that spirit is all, then we have to also come to the belief there really are no accidents because God is all.
And God is absolute goodness. And so this is a platform that we attain as we start to shift our awareness from material to mental and eventually to spiritual. By accepting spiritual identity, we have to believe God is all. And all is absolutely good. But again, it's not belief without proof. There's a certain level of trust without reservation because spirit is a provable principle. It's a law. And if we are conscious of it, then of course it has to externalize in our experiences because consciousness is experience. So again, what we've been saying is you use the testimony of your senses to give you clues. If you are conscious of the human mental universe, or if you are conscious of the divine spiritual universe.
Well, can we dig a little deeper with that phrase you said about the sliding scale of experience? How do we apply that to what we're just talking about?
It's all going to be dependent upon what you believe in. If you believe that there are accidents, but there is a reason for it, then you are living under the law of karma. But if you believe that God is all and all is absolute goodness, and there cannot be anything less than the perfection of being, and so spiritual understanding must evolve, it must grow and graduate into a demonstrable principle. That it's not just belief, because the entire human experience is driven by belief. If you either believe in accidents or you don't believe in accidents, you really don't go far enough. Belief is actually one of the obstructions to recognizing the divine creation. If you originally begin with the belief there is a divine creation, that God is running a perfect universe, and it is in the eternal now, and it's not something that you have to wait till you expire on a physical level, which really doesn't prove out in science at all, but you have that belief that it's there, then it creates the opportunity for you to go beyond belief and then start to graduate to faith and then eventually to understanding.
So if I believe that something happened because it was supposed to happen, an accident, whatever that might be, am I just reinforcing the fact that I believe in something other than God?
You know, as surprising as that might sound, that's exactly it. If we believe in suffering, sickness, disease, lack, limitation, we really have a belief in something other than the divine creation. And if you really look around, the entire world is driven by that. And then, of course, we've graduated to understand that fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of existence. Look at how fear drives the world today. Let's look at this pandemic right now, that everybody is running out to get vaccinations or living behind masks because we believe sickness is real. We believe this human existence is real. And then we're trying to defend it and extend it. Whereas spiritual identity dissolves the belief in the false sense of existence. But it also opens us up to this larger sense of life, eternal life, life without an expiration date, the changeless state of being. If we are conscious of that and we have fidelity to it, then consciousness is experience, that it will begin to externalize in our experiences.
So you said that we have two different ways of looking at the statement, there are no accidents. One is the belief in good and bad, and the other one is the belief in the divine creation, which can only be good. So are there any similarities between the two that we need to know about or should be aware of?
In both choices, they agree there are no accidents. One is void of accidents, and the other sees accidents as a consequence based on mental and physical choices. And so again, either we believe in two powers, we believe in good and bad, we believe in the cycle of death and rebirth, or we believe in one power, which is completely void of evil. It is absolute goodness.
So, Swami, this sounds like this is coming right back to what you mentioned earlier about what we believe in.
Yeah, I think the real question here may be, do I believe in the mental, physical universe driven by the belief in two powers, good and evil, or do I believe in the spiritual universe driven by a belief in one power, absolute goodness? And so if we accept our mortality, The very best that we can do is we can have a temporary sense of success as far as living is concerned. We can change finite bad to finite good. And for most of us, we're happy if we can get more of the pleasures and profits of the human experience. But if you're one who wants the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and you want a permanent sense of success, then you have to graduate to spiritual identity. Like the Bible says, we must put off the old man. And in doing this, we really have to start to examine what it is that we are doing, because one of the things that I've learned is the difference between mental and spiritual. Even though when we turn within, we give up what our belief in what is visible and tangible, when we turn within, we come in contact with what is invisible but tangible, the whole realm of thought. And because thought is invisible but tangible, it's not the same as spirit, which is invisible and intangible. And if you don't have experience with it, then how do we know the difference? And so what I really like is what Mary Baker Eddy said, something to the effect that if you cannot heal, you do not know yourself spiritually, which kind of gives us a little bit of a litmus test that we can work with. Because if we just stay with belief and we don't graduate to faith or understanding, then we find that we're living a life and we're worshiping a God, but we are not under the protection of divine law. And so there really isn't much benefit to that.
So I like to think that I do believe in the spiritual universe that's driven by this one power, by God. But like you said, if I don't have the fruits, then there's still a breakdown somewhere. So how would I go about trying to correct that?
Well, I really like what Mary Baker Eddy said. In Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, on page 167, line 6, we apprehend life in divine science only as we live above corporeal sense and correct it. I really like that she really requires us to begin to demonstrate our belief in this invisible, intangible principle, this law. Because that's something that I've been saying for some time. How do I know what I'm calling God or what I'm calling truth is the one true God, the one true truth? And the Bible, it says, know the truth and it will make you free. And if you do not have this freedom, if you're not free from the law of karma, if you're not above corporeal sense, and you just think that you are spiritual, you think you know the truth, or you know the truth with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image, these become some of the indicators I would use in order for me to be able to troubleshoot what I'm calling truth is the one truth.
Well, we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I see we have a writing here by Joel Goldsmith, and he's talking more about spiritual identity. I think now would be a good time to recite that for our listeners.
Yeah, in his book, A Parenthesis in Eternity, he writes, "To understand this makes it clear that in our spiritual identity, all that God is, we are. There is no need, therefore, to turn to God for something. There is the need only to recognize this relationship of oneness, and then create within ourselves a vacuum so that we can realize, my being is constituted of the quality, the substance, and the essence of God, and it is the law of God that governs, guides, directs, and instructs me. The nature of our being is the same as the nature of God being, and we are one. Realizing in that oneness, we permit the invisible to govern, uphold, sustain, move, feed, clothe, house, direct, and instruct us. This is different from thinking of ourselves as something separate and apart from God. Having to ask God or attempting to influence Him, this is the difference between successful spiritual living and unsuccessful living of any type. God's grace governs us. God's grace is our sufficiency. But that grace is not brought into our experience by praying to God in the sense of asking, pleading, or seeking for it. Rather, does it come by relaxing into an atmosphere of receptivity. At this very moment, let us turn from the human picture which is presenting itself to us and realize that we live and move and have our being in God. Wherever we are, let us relax in the invisible. We cannot see, hear, taste, touch, or smell it. But through faith, through an inner conviction, we can understand that the place whereon we stand is holy ground. That where the eye of us is, God is. That the kingdom of heaven is within us, right where we are, and then feeling that, relax. That's the end of the quote.
Swami, in the first paragraph, Joel says, there is no need, therefore, to turn to God for something. There is the need only to recognize this relationship of oneness, then create within ourselves a vacuum so that we can realize my being is constituted of the quality, the substance, and so on, he says. So let's talk about creating this vacuum. What does he mean by that, and how do we do it?
Well, what we've been saying is we stop thinking. Thinking is what creates the mental universe we're actually trying to come out of. By stopping thinking, by stopping forming thoughts and opinions based on information that's coming through our corporeal senses. And I really like what he says, to understand this makes it clear that in our spiritual identity, all that God is, we are. Now, if we have awareness for the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, and we make our mind an avenue of awareness for it, we're really looking for nothing. There is no stimulation on a corporeal sense level. And as long as we stop thinking in our silence and in our stillness and filling our thought with this divine idea, we activate our spiritual senses. which makes our thought buoyant. As we start to rise in awareness into spiritual truth, which is not reporting in our corporeal senses, we find that place where our thought is the same as the divine idea. In silence and in stillness, we let that spiritual light illuminate our thought. We rest. We let it instruct us from within, and we let it live our lives. We give up personal will, and we let the divine will govern us.
You had said the phrase spiritual senses. How does that differ from the corporeal senses?
Well, the corporeal senses see the mental universe. They see the human recreation of the divine creation. Spiritual sense sees the divine creation. And corporeal sense works in contrast. It is working in a divided consciousness. Everything that appears in our corporeal senses is in half. It's human conjecture. Whereas the divine idea works in the absolute. Spirit is whole. It's complete. Spirit can't be divided. And so we learn how to live our lives from that higher sense of existence by being aware of the divine creation and not reacting to the secondary mental universe created by the world mind and human thought.
So in the second paragraph, Joel says, the nature of our being is the same as the nature of God being, for we are one. And then later he says, this is different from thinking of ourselves as something separate and apart from God. So give us an example when we are thinking of ourselves as something separate from God. What does that look like?
When we identify with the body or the mind, in order for something to materialize, it must split from unity. It manifests in half and it leaves behind a complementary, unmanifested other part. And our corporeal senses work on contrast. And so when we accept what is coming in through our physical senses, our material senses, as real, then we're falling way short of the mark, because the divine creation is the only thing that's real, but it's spiritual, it's whole, it's complete. And so by us accepting spiritual identity, we realize that we're whole, we're complete, we're fulfilled, and there will never be anything that needs to be added to or taken away. We rest in that realization. I and the Father are one. I'm made in the image and likeness of the divine creation, and I'm not a finite mortal being.
Well, he says that to realize is God's grace, and that is our sufficiency. It comes to us by relaxing into this atmosphere of receptivity. So what does that sound like to you? What does that look like when you do it?
Well, that's what I was saying. My mind is aware of the divine creation. My mind is an avenue of awareness. I'm not thinking and forming thoughts based on information coming through the corporeal senses. I stop thinking, and then in silence and in stillness, I watch, I wait, I listen for this spiritual light to illuminate my thought. The realization that comes with that oneness, one mind, one life, dissolves the false sense that I'm a separate, finite, mortal being. Like we're saying, now you're starting to live from your spiritual senses. In yoga, we call that your chakras, or in Revelations, they call it the churches. These are thought windows in consciousness where human thought is the same as the divine idea. In the Bible, they call it the Christ. The Christ is what makes the divine creation intelligible to human consciousness. That spiritual light dissolves the false sense. And as we rise in our understanding, in our awareness of the divine creation, then we graduate from belief to faith to understanding. Because how we think is what we become, but when we're thinking with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image, we're limited. But if we can put off that false sense of human thinking and start to graduate into divine knowing, knowing the truth, and we let that divine consciousness govern us, and in our silence and in our stillness, we watch, we wait, and then that will resolve things into thoughts and exchange the objects of sense for the divine idea, which means that we graduate from a human thinking about life to this one perfect divine creative principle expressing itself as itself through us. And I think that's what he's talking about, where he says, then create within ourselves a vacuum that will now allow this spiritual divine principle to express itself through us.
And I like what he says. We can understand that the place whereon we stand is holy ground, that where the eye of us is, God is, making us realize wherever we are, God is. God is not apart from us, but within us.
And then to live your life under the influence of this spiritual awareness that God is all is good, life is perfect, and it can't be anything less than perfect, is a very different platform than we're living and stopping at the testimony of our corporeal senses, which is giving us a mixed message or a false testimony about what's really here, which is that divine creation. And then we react to the false sense by our reaction. We believe in it and we perpetuate it. We give it the life that it really doesn't have, because spirit is the only self-existent power in this universe. Everything else relies on belief for the appearance of power.
I'm thinking about the New Testament, and I'm not recalling ever reading anything about accidents or Jesus's reaction to accidents.
No, Jesus told us, resist not evil. And the reason is because there is no evil in spiritual identity. Evil is a concept of the human creation, which runs on belief. And again, spirit is the only self-existent power. And if we have fidelity to that, if we are a faithful witness of it, then it will begin to reveal itself to us. And the message of the Christ is to acknowledge this larger sense of life, the divine creation. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and it is at hand, it is within you. Most of us are living our lives searching outside of ourselves, and we're looking for things that are visible and tangible or invisible and tangible to help complete ourselves when we're working with duality. We're working with something that isn't even whole, it's not complete. And so we look at statements like, there are no accidents. Okay, we can agree on that. But then to what extent do you believe that there are no accidents? Do you believe in the law of karma, or do you believe in the divine law of life?
Well, it's that time we do have to start breaking down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're on the homepage and you see the fading banner, Blog Talk Radio, if you click that, that directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then by clicking on the Products tab, then Online Classes directs you to all the classes that Swami has available for you. So Swami, with that, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and live under the influence and protection of divine law. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.